You are listening to The Real Shia Beliefs, a collaboration between Thacker Lane and Al Hujah Islamic Seminary. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider becoming our patron by donating at thackerlane.org/support.
So Al-Ghaybat al-Sughra lasted for 70 years. During this ghaybah, the Imam alayhi salam appointed four ambassadors who officially represented him, so that anyone who had a question to ask the Imam alayhi salam, if they were going through any trouble, social crisis, political crisis, problems, they would go to these four ambassadors. He had appointed them clearly. And in order to prove that they were the ambassadors of the Imam, they could actually perform miracles. People would ask them, what's the proof that you're in communication with the Mahdi? Because there were imposters, like Ash-Shalmaghani, who claimed that he was also representing the Mahdi. There were some others who did that. So they would actually demonstrate by miracles that they were the representatives of the Imam, so that those true Shia would know they are the Sufara. Who are these four? The first one is Uthman ibn Sa'id al-Amri. He is the first of the four deputies and ambassadors during Al-Ghaybat al-Sughra. How long did he rule? How long do you think the first ambassador ruled? 1 year. Less than 2 years. Did not even reach 2 years. He only represented the Mahdi 1 year and then he passed away. The Imam alayhi salam praised him in a number of hadiths. In fact, Al-Amri was a special representative of Al-Imam Al-Hadi and also Al-Imam Al-Askari. There are many hadiths that really, really praise him. For example, Al-Imam Al-Hadi said to his followers, the Shia, this is Abu Al-Amri, a reliable and trustworthy person. Whatever he says to you, he says on my behalf. And whatever he does on my behalf. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine an infallible imam saying about a person, whatever he does is like my own action? What an honor this man had. For Al-Imam Al-Hadi to say that in his honor. Al-Imam Al-Askari also praised him and he says he's a reliable and trustworthy person. He had the confidence of the preceding imam, meaning Al-Imam Al-Hadi, and also my confidence in my lifetime and after my death. Whatever he says to you, he says on my behalf. Whatever he does on my behalf. Also, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, he also praises him in a number of letters, in a number of exchanges. And when he dies, the Imam alayhi salam writes a letter to send his condolences to his son, who would be the second Safir. So his son, Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Uthman, he became the second Safir. In his letter, the Imam alayhi salam tells him, verily, we belong to Allah and we return to Him. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Your father has lived in good fortune and has died with dignity. This is a letter from Al-Imam Al-Mahdi to the son of Al-Amri. Upon the death of his father, the Imam is giving him his condolences. May Allah's mercy be upon him. He has joined his friends and masters. He was always making an effort to search for whatever that would bring him to Allah and the awliya Allah and the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah strengthen his countenance. This is the letter of the Mahdi to the second deputy, and he appoints him as the second deputy. So the second deputy is Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Uthman. He represented Al-Imam Al-Mahdi the longest time. How many years? 42 years. For 42 years, the son of Al-Amri was the Safir, the link between the Shia and between the Imam of their time. So during his lifetime, he really played a very important role. Al-Imam Al-Mahdi said about him, he's my confidant, I trust him. And O Shia, if you have anything that you want to ask about, go through him. And if you want to bring the zakat and the khums, you also go through him. They would submit it to him. And he would get the answer from Al-Imam al-Mahdi. If there is a question, he would seal it and he would give it to the people. Some of those letters have survived in history. You know, the content of the letters that the people asked Al-Imam al-Mahdi. So this is the second Safir. The third Safir is Abu al-Qasim Hussein ibn Ruh al-Nawbakhti. Al-Hussein ibn Ruh was truly one of the treasures of humanity in his akhlaq, in his scholarship. He was known to be the top scholar of his time. He represented Al-Imam al-Mahdi as the third deputy or ambassador for 21 years.
Say,
yes.
When we put the Arida in the water,
we mention him, yes. Because that's mentioned in the hadiths. Because he's the gate to the Mahdi, sometimes if you want a haja from Allah to be solved through Al-Imam al-Mahdi, you go through his gate, Al-Husayn ibn Ruh. Yes, he does shafa'ah. He has the power of shafa'ah. That's how great he was. And by the way, even Ash-Shalmaghani, who had so much competition, because Ash-Shalmaghani expected that when the second ambassador would die, he would be the third one. I am so well known, I have knowledge, I'm a scholar, every Shia knows me. And he was waiting by the minute for the Mahdi to choose him. Al-Imam al-Mahdi chooses Al-Husayn ibn Ruh al-Nawbakhti. He becomes shattered. The jealousy, why him and not me? Why? But the Imam knows whom to choose. Allah tells him who to choose. So Ash-Shalmaghani, he starts fighting Al-Husayn ibn Ruh, slandering him, attacking him. But at one point he admitted, he said, there was a lot of beef between me and Al-Husayn ibn Ruh because I attacked him and we were not on good terms. But I admit that he is the best representative to the Mahdi. You know, Ash-Shalmaghani deviated, he became morally corrupt, and eventually he claimed he was God. That's the corruption that he ended. And remember, he was a top scholar. I mean, if you want to give him a label by today's standards, he was a top marja at the time. Just imagine the difficulty the Shias had to go through. The big difficulty. There was a fitna. He created a fitna in the society. But Al-Husayn ibn Ruh, through his akhlaq, through his piety, he handled it well.
The third one, how long did he serve?
The third one? Al-Husayn ibn Ruh, he served for 21 years. He was the third deputy for 21 years. He represented Al-Imam al-Mahdi. And we have a lot of praise in his honor from Al-Imam al-Mahdi, in which he commands the Shia to go through him and that he represents the Imam of his time. Now, when Al-Husayn ibn Ruh passes away, the last deputy, the fourth one, is Abu al-Hasan Ali ibn Muhammad as-Sumari or Samari. There are different pronunciations. There's a third and fourth pronunciation. Let's say as-Samari or as-Samari. As-Sumari is also a common pronunciation. So he only represents Al-Imam al-Mahdi for 3 years. He was the last deputy. He acted as the link between the Shia and the Imam of their time. 6 days before As-Sumari passes away, he receives a letter from the Mahdi. Al-Imam al-Mahdi says the following in the letter. He says, O Ali ibn Muhammad, may Allah increase the reward of your brothers concerning you. I give my condolences to your brothers. Why? Death will come to you within the next 6 days. In 6 days, your life will expire. So complete your works and do not nominate any person after you. You are the last of my deputies. No one is going to officially represent me after you. The sequence of special deputies will come to an end and the major occultation, Al-Ghaybatul Kubra, is now going to start. Yes.
What triggered the Ghaybatul Kubra? Why didn't he just continue with the fifth?
Because the Ghaybatul Sughra was basically a period to prepare the Shia for the Ghaybatul Kubra. The Ghaybatul Kubra was the system that Allah had willed for humanity. But remember, you can't go into Ghaybatul Kubra immediately because then the people will be confused. What happened to the Imam? People will lose faith. So it had to be a transition. And that started, by the way, with Al-Imam al-Hadi and Al-Imam al-Hasan. When they were in Samarra under house arrest, there was limited access to them. So the Shia got used to the idea of having limited access to their Imam. That prepared them for Ghaybatul Sughra. And those 70 years were preparing the Ummah, specifically the Shia, for the big ghaibah. So it was just a transition. Otherwise, the goal from the first day was to have Al-Imam Al-Mahdi in a long ghaibah for the reasons that we mentioned 2 weeks ago. Why does Allah put an imam in the ghaibah? What's the philosophy behind it? We mentioned a few reasons. So that was the goal from the beginning. But remember, Allah does things in steps to prepare us. And that was basically a point of preparation. So he tells him, in 6 days, your life will be up. Don't appoint anyone. The major occultation will start. Then the imam says in the letter, now the reappearance will only occur with the permission of Allah. I'll officially reappear when Allah gives me the permission, after a prolonged period and after the hearts of people are hardened. During the time of the ghaibah, the imam says the hearts of the people will eventually harden. You know, once Sudayr al-Sayrafi, he says, I went along with a few companions to visit Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. This is about a century, 100 years before the Mahdi. He says, I saw him in sujood crying like a mother who's lost her child. Picture a mother who just lost her infant child, killed in front of her. How does she cry? He says, I heard Ja'far ibn Muhammad crying like that. I approached him and I heard him say the following words, Sayyidi ghaybatuka nafat ruqadi. My master, your ghaybah has taken away the sleep from me. I can't sleep. Sayyidi ghaybatuka nafat ruqadi wa dayyaqat alayya mihadi wabtazzat minni rahata fuadi. Your ghaybah has made me restless. Sayyidi ghaybatuka awsalat musabi bifaja' al-abad. بفجائع الأبد وفقد الواحد بعد الأحد فلا أرى دمعة ترقى في عيني. سيدي, my master, your ghaibah is so painful on my heart. It's as if I'm in eternal sadness. I can't keep the tears away from me. It's as if I've lost my loved ones. Sudayr says, I couldn't believe my ears. Who's he talking about? What's going on? So I came to him, I told him, Imam, when he settled down, who's this master that you call him my master? You're the imam. Who's your master? He says, I was looking at the divine knowledge that Allah gave us, and I saw my grandson, the Mahdi, and the ghaibah, and how the believers will be tested, how some of them in the morning they have faith, at night they lose their iman. He says, when I saw that, I broke into tears. For this long, long ghaibah. And Imam al-Mahdi mentions this in the letter. He says, a prolonged period after the hearts of people are hardened. And such a period will emerge on my Shias when people will claim that they've seen me. The Imam says, there will be people who will claim they've seen me. The Imam says, whoever makes such a claim, that he's officially seen me before the Sufyani, and those signs of reappearance, and the sayha, the divine call from the sky, which we'll examine in our later classes, the signs of the reappearance. The Imam alayhi salam says, these people are liars and imposters. No one will officially see me. See, the Imam says officially. Maybe some people will see the Imam, but it's not official and they don't announce it. Therefore, we see that with the death of the fourth ambassador, who is As-Sumari, he died on 15 Sha'ban, year 329. 15 Sha'ban is the day of the birth of the Mahdi. And year 329 is the year that Al-Kulayni passed away too. Al-Kulayni, the author of Al-Kafi, our most important book of hadith, he also died that year. So remember, Al-Kulayni, when he was compiling Al-Kafi, it was in Ghaybat al-Sughra. And many scholars believe that the four ambassadors, they blessed the work of Al-Kulayni. And Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja, he blessed the work of Al-Kulayni. It was basically under their guidance and under their knowledge. So we find that with that, the minor ghaibah comes to an end and the major ghaibah starts. And this has lasted now for about 1,100, maybe 10, 15 years, the major ghaibah. In our next class, we will examine some fundamental points. One of them is it possible for the Imam to be living so long? In this year, 1440, in the Hijri calendar, the Imam alayhi salam becomes 1,185 years old, because he was born 255. Subtract that from 1440, that's 1,185. How is it that an imam lives for so long? Is this possible according to the spirit of the Quran, number one? Secondly, is this scientifically possible? What are some top scientists today are saying about longevity? The capacity of the human to live for 1,000 years. Is this something possible or this is completely impossible? This is something we'll examine inshallah in our next class. And then we'll examine the major occultation, the challenges of the major occultation. Then we'll talk about the signs of reappearance. What types of signs do we have? Because this is part of our belief system. Then we end the discussion on the Mahdi by talking about the Raj'ah, the return. What is the Raj'ah? This concept of the Raj'ah, which the Imams have mentioned very clearly. And one of the qualities of believers is to believe the words of Ahlul Bayt. And we believe in the Raj'ah. What's the Raj'ah? Some people who have died, they will be resurrected to this life. Why? What's the point of that? This is something that we'll examine inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.